Good morning, Your Honors, and thank you for the privilege of, for the privilege of appearing before you on behalf of Ms. Simpson. Your Honor, what makes this difficult for me is that I am asking for the court to consider that there is a pretextual reason for the dissolution of or the termination of my client after she accepted the FMLA or went on the FMLA. And I'm suggesting to Your Honors that the judge, the chief judge of Will County, made up some stories for her termination. As I mentioned in my brief, we received, after discovery was completed, this list of 14 reasons why His Honor apparently was discussing with my client the termination of her. Some of those reasons on that list were crossed out. My client contends that she never had any of those even discussed with her. We filed a affidavit in response to that list, disputing each and every one of those. And because we had the notes from Mr. Costigan, who was at that hearing at the earlier time, we had the ability to dispute them with the testimony of other judges, with the transcripts of proceedings before another judge and Her Honor's order, and we had the ability to dispute some of those reasons from other information we were able to draw. As recently as this year, this court has ruled that an affidavit appearing at the 11th hour is somewhat suspect. And when you have a list of reasons for the termination of an employee on FMLA leave, we first, of course, must try to answer each and every one of those, which we did. But secondly, if even one of those reasons sounds fishy and suspicious, this court should at least give the plaintiff the opportunity to present her evidence to a trier of fact. And the defense has raised two main reasons only in their brief and in their summary judgment motion to Her Honor. And I would only like to address those two and save as much of my 10 minutes for rebuttal as possible. The first reason that they talk about is this fraternizing with a juvenile. This was a young lady of about 16 years of age at the time who was, every time she was about to come out of the juvenile detention center, would act out. And they couldn't let her go because of infractions. Finally, my client and her assistant director, Mr. Anthony Molito, got the girl to open up. And the reason why she was acting out was because of certain abuse she was receiving at the hands of a of her stepfather in her home. As a mandated reporter, Ms. Simpson reported all of that and reported it to Her Honor Judge Badger. Then in a hearing, which was of record and a confidential hearing, the child and her lawyer said, "Your Honor, we're going, now we're going to behave, we're going over to a foster setting home. Can we make sure that Laura Simpson and Anthony Molito keep contact with me? We want that." Once that order was entered, and Her Honor was very clear, she said, excuse me, Judge. She said, "I don't know how this needs to be done, but be sure it's done." That child looks at Laura Simpson as a mother figure, and this is a good thing, not a bad thing. After that child was out of the system completely at Will County, that child was in a foster home. Laura Simpson and Anthony Molito continued to pick the child up only on daytime visits, to take her to church with their own families, and other things. I see the light.
You have 5 minutes. You're in your rebuttal.
All right, I'm going to go a little faster. The second big point they raise is the Dr. Brown, Dr. Amy Brown, the psychologist. Dr. Brown was not hired by Laura Simpson. Dr. Brown was hired by Judge Lekwar. Judge Lekwar is the one who paid any bills that she submitted to the county. Laura Simpson had nothing to do with that. And as it turned out, the doctor would only do psychological evaluations of Will County employees when a judge ordered them. Laura Simpson would not see those reports. She had nothing to do with it. If a report was ordered and rendered, the judge who received the report would okay the bill of Dr. Brown. He would go to Judge Lekwar would approve it, and the county would pay for it. Laura Simpson had nothing to do with it. And His Honor knew that, and he and Mr. Sangmeister, who had also been consulted about the other situation, can we go and visit with this child? Judge Badger has authorized it. All of this was approved. Each and every one of the items raised by them, I suggest to Your Honor, I have responded to in my brief, and we have shown that those are not reasons for the termination of a lady who needed the knee surgery, got the knee surgery, and only asked, all right, Your Honor, if you're going to terminate me, can I stay till December 16th? No, you're terminated now. December 16th, he says he didn't know anything about the surgery. That was the day of the surgery. She wanted to stay on the payroll at least that long. I do want to reserve some time. Thank you, Jim.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Sunil Bawe, and I represent the defendant appellees, the Office of the Chief Judge of the Circuit Court of Will County, Michael Costigan, and Doug Wilson. The final judgment of the district court should be affirmed in its entirety because the plaintiff has failed to prove her case of FMLA interference or discrimination. Your Honors, just now the plaintiff stated that Judge Lekwar and we provided her with certain notes regarding the reasons that we considered for her termination at the 11th hour. I'd just like to read to you really quickly the plaintiff's deposition testimony. Is there anything that would refresh your recollection as to what Chief Judge Lekwar talked to you about with respect to Dr. Brown? The answer by the plaintiff, unless his notes are present, I don't think so. So we asked her, have you ever seen Judge Lekwar's notes from the termination meeting? The plaintiff responded, I saw them recently in discovery that you gave to my attorney. Now, in her reply brief, the plaintiff claims that she was referring to another set of notes. But this clearly is a disputed fact, whether or not we gave her the notes during discovery. The plaintiff has now admitted that her entire case hinges on pretext. And this court has made clear that in an FMLA interference claim, pretext analysis has no place. This court has stated that it is neither necessary nor sufficient. And this court said that in the Diaz case and in the Cole versus Beverly Enterprises case. The reason for that is whether or not a boss lied or gave an improper reason for termination has nothing to do with interference of a substantive right under FMLA. The plaintiff must bring forth affirmative evidence tying her termination to FMLA. And here she simply cannot do that. The reason the plaintiff was fired was based upon a recommendation given to Chief Judge Lekwar by independent, non-biased, non-defendants. The Will County State's Attorney's recommendation to terminate her and the Will County Auditor's recommendation to terminate her. The auditor's recommendation was based on an audit that was conducted on the River Valley Detention Center. While the plaintiff was originally the director of that detention center and later, after the reorganization of the detention center, was a superintendent. And the results of that audit showed that there was fraudulent criminal activity taking place. mostly on the part of Dr. Amy Susco Brown. The audit report showed that she engaged in billing for services not rendered. She was only on campus 2-3 hours a week while she was a full-time employee, and that she had delegated tasks to staff members that was not appropriately done. Child psychology exams were given to staff members while Dr. Susco Brown had billed for those exams. The audit report also disclosed that the plaintiff, as Dr. Brown's supervisor, had full knowledge of these fraudulent activities. Now, the plaintiff claims that she was not Dr. Brown's boss, but the institutional rules state that all members, all employees, all members of management report to the director of the detention center, and the director at the time was plaintiff. Simply put, the plaintiff has not brought forth any evidence to prove that FMLA had anything to do with this case. The only evidence is temporal proximity, that when we fired Ms. Simpson, she was under FMLA leave. But the reason that we fired her had nothing to do with FMLA. It had to do with the audit report that Judge Lekwar received. And as the district court correctly pointed out, even if the audit report was incorrect, as the plaintiff claims the facts in the audit report are wrong, the conclusions are skewed, the methodology was flawed. Even if all that is true, which we dispute, but even if it's true, there is no evidence in the record to show that Judge Lekwar did not honestly believe that the report was true. Did not have an honest reason to believe that the recommendation should be followed. The recommendation was given by independent parties. That there's no evidence that the state's attorney's office or the Will County Auditor's Office had any ill animus toward the plaintiff. Judge Lekwar simply followed the recommendation given to him. Therefore, the plaintiff's interference claim cannot succeed. As to her discrimination claim, now this is where pretext can come into play. But before we even get, because under FMLA discrimination, it's a traditional employment discrimination analysis. She can prove her claim by the direct method, or she can prove her claim by the indirect method. Now, the district court correctly pointed out that under the direct method, her claim fails because, again, there's no affirmative evidence that she has brought forth showing that Judge Lekwar fired her because of FMLA. Just because she was on FMLA at the time doesn't mean she was fired because of FMLA. So her only alternative now is to follow the indirect method under the traditional McDonnell-Douglas test. But before she can even get to pretext, she needs to jump the hurdle of the prima facie case. And specifically, she cannot prove the element that a similarly situated employee that did not request FMLA leave was treated more favorably than she was. Now, it's important to point out that at the district court, in her response to the motion for summary judgment, she did not present the court with any comparable employee. She took the position that her position as the director and superintendent of the detention center was so unique that there were no comparable employees. On appeal, in her opening brief, she took the same position again. She did not bring forth a comparable employee. The first time she has brought forth a comparable employee is in her reply brief. So we argue that this issue has been forfeited. And even if the court is to consider this issue, the comparable employee that she has brought forth is Anthony Melito. And Anthony Melito is not a similarly situated employee because, in fact, he was her subordinate. He was the assistant director at the detention center while she was the director. But not only that, even though Melito had some contact with this juvenile recurrent detainee that's referred to as SB, Melito was not under investigation for criminal fraud. There was no recommendation given to Judge Lekwar by an auditor and by the state's attorney that Melito had engaged in criminal activity. Now, ultimately, Ms. Simpson, the plaintiff, was acquitted of criminal charges, but there was an investigation that was taking place. There was enough to bring an indictment. Therefore, because she cannot prove that there was a similarly situated employee that was treated more favorably than her, she cannot meet her prima facie case. Now, even if she can meet her prima facie case, she still fails at the pretext level. Ms. Simpson will come and say that she was allowed to have contact with the juvenile detainee, that she did not have anything to do with Dr. Brown's fraudulent activities. But again, as the district court correctly noted, that is not relevant. What is relevant is the reason that Judge Lekwar terminated her. And he terminated her based on the finding that she had improper contact with a juvenile detainee and that she engaged in fraudulent activities with Dr. Amy Susco Brown, the child psychologist. Because his belief that those findings were true were taken from the audit report. Now see, Judge Lekwar did not do his own independent investigation of what's going on. He did have a court administrator, Kurt Sangmeister, who did an investigation. But the result of the audit report had nothing to do with Judge Lekwar. And it was the audit report that recommended that Ms. Simpson should be terminated. So what it all boils down to is that the only connection between FMLA and the plaintiff's termination is that she was on FMLA. She happened to be on FMLA by November of 2002. She was terminated in November 26th of 2002. But this audit and this investigation, this all started a long time before, in June, in the summer of 2002. The termination simply had no relationship to the FMLA leave. And because the plaintiff cannot bring forth any evidence showing that that was the reason that she was terminated, her interference and her discrimination claims both fail. And, Your Honors, if there are no further questions, we do respectfully request that the judgment of the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. You have 3 minutes, Mr.
I might have to go a little slower. I'm sorry.
Your Honors, first of all, there is no finding of a fraudulent report by Dr. Brown. The Pleasant report found no double billing, which my client has nothing to do with in the first place. The notes that my client mistakenly thought she was talking about in her deposition, if you were to see the deposition of Judge Lekwar, were the notes of Michael Costigan. We never had the notes of Judge Lekwar until they were given to us at the end of discovery. Statement that this case had nothing to do with FMLA leave, you'll notice we requested FMLA leave paperwork. Excuse me, Your Honor. We were denied it. Feeling harassed. We were told to call in every day. Who did she go to ask for advice? Judge Penn, the one that Judge Lekwar said she couldn't go and get along with. Judge Penn has told us under oath she was feeling harassed. She told me she was harassed. They were denying her FMLA leave paperwork. And Judge Lekwar said in his deposition under oath it was bandied about that she wasn't really sick and that she was hiding. You'll notice his notes are very silent. They make no mention of the Pleasant report. He said in his deposition, I don't even know if I consulted the report at that time. Ms. Pleasant said she never met with Ms. Simpson. She wasn't investigating Ms. Simpson. Nobody told her. She doesn't know who told her to do what investigation. So a finding that Judge Lekwar wasn't involved in all of that, the record is silent on that. He says he doesn't know who did it. Gentlemen, I see the light is on. I ask you please to give us an opportunity to argue this case before the trier of fact. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeRosa. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.